share with you, there is a list back there. Looks like this. It has a lot of addresses and phone numbers of the church people, and if you want to pick that up and look through it, just make sure everybody's addresses and phone numbers are correct. We've already seen several that's not, and if there's ones that we've missed, we need to add them, or those that shouldn't be on there or on there twice, we need to take one off because there's not two of you. So help us out in that way, as well as you'll have contacts, and that will give you the opportunity to contact other people that you might see missing from church. Amen. Well, good news they've been singing and praising about this morning. Gone is the stone. It's been rolled away. Is that praise?
Amen.
Gone is Jesus out of the grave. He's not there no more. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his name. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he is ready to take his children back home. And I pray that God will bless you this morning. I wonder this morning, have you discovered and experienced victory in Jesus?
Amen.
Well, man, we've got a lot to worship and praise God about. To see this morning, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk about together. And I am so thrilled that we have gathered here today to lift up the name of Jesus, the only name worthy of our praise and worship in Him alone. 12, beginning in verse 3, is where we're going to start, and we're talking about together. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have one same all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let him prophesy, according to the propitiation of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministry or ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Father in heaven, we come before you as we have been worshiping and praising you this morning, as we have been studying, as we've been praying. God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just dwell among us this morning and just challenge us and move us to where you want us to be. And God, I pray that right now, that if there's anyone here that has any doubt or knows that as a matter of fact that they do not have victory in you, I pray that your Holy Spirit this morning would draw them to that personal salvation and that divine moment, God, that you have set aside just for them. And God, as Christians, pray that God, that we would realize and recognize this morning that you have gifted us to work together to the body, not work away from each other or work against each other, but work together for the body of Christ to lift up your name and your name alone, not to think of ourselves highly, but to think of who saved us and who gave us the victory, and to be serving, loving, and working for you. God, just work among us this morning and help us, Lord, to know how together we're so much better. When we're together with you, we're together with each other as believers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Baseball team. Baseball team has a lot of players who are gifted and have been a part of a team and want to be successful. Talking about victory, you like victory, right? Nobody in here likes to lose. I wouldn't think so. All of us want to be successful. And as a lot of players come together, they are to play their positions. Not only do they play their positions, but they back up the one that's beside them. And they help them and encourage them, even when they make errors. You can hear another baseball player say, "That's all right, get the next one." They do that to encourage each other. If you hear them at one moment say, "Yeah, well, that's a lousy play. You just messed up that." That doesn't help the team, does it? We should encourage each other. As baseball players encourage each other, we should. Managers watch the the player's talents, and they place him in the best position that fits. That manager gives each player an opportunity to increase in their skills and knowing how to play better. That coach offers skills and kind of drives them and pushes them to be the very best that they can be. And that player becomes more trusting. He becomes trusting to the players, and he trusts other team players as well as work together. Those players are committed. Those players are committed. You just don't show up on game day. You got to go through the practices. You got to do all those things, because there's where you get committed and you get encouraged and you learn new things. And they even teach life skills. I can recall the first time meeting my high school baseball coach. He looked at me and he says, "You give me 110% or don't give me nothing at all. Are you in?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all in." At that point, I didn't understand how much running was involved in that at all. To that point, meet my high school baseball coach, I had not ran like he was going to run. And he says, "You're a pitcher." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You get to run more." That wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to throw the baseball. But he says, "You got to run." Just this past year, I got to go out to watch him inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he came up to me and he said, "I worked you awful hard," said, "I drove you real hard. But I saw the potential. And you know I love you." I said, "Yeah, I know you love me. I know you loved me then, even though you was running me a lot." The similarities. Each of you, now listen to me, church, get this. Each of you have a special place in the family of God. Each one of you has a special place and a gift and a talent in the family of God. And when you're MIA, you're missing in action, you're not doing and serving and doing what God's called you to do, the body suffers. The team suffers. The family suffers. In our text this morning, God is the master manager. He opens up everything, but he has uniquely crafted each believer for a specific place in which he wants you to make a difference in lives of others. And as a recipient of the manifold grace of God is what he wants to offer each one of us. The question this morning is this: are you under God's management? There's only two choices. There's only two choices. Who is managing you? Husbands, don't look up at your wife and say, "You are, ain't you, honey?" That's not one of the choices. Either God is in charge or Satan is. When you talk to people, sometimes they'll say something like, "No, not really. I'm in control of what I do." No, you're not. Not really. Satan has manipulated you to think so. And Satan, he wants you to think that you're going through this and that you're the one that's in control. But he really wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has for you. God's family and his ways are not that way. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ came for. And this is not, don't get me wrong, this is not a name it and claim it mentality. It's not that. The gift of salvation and the gifts that he offers you and I are to be used in the body of Christ to help others and to bring glory to himself, not us. It's bringing him the glory, not us. We must come to the place in our life that getting together of ourselves means submitting to new management. And then once we get together ourselves with God this way, when we get together to him and we begin to submit that, "God, it's you're in control. You're in control of every aspect of my life, not just compartmentalized, not just one or two areas, but God, you're in control of all of me. Everything that I say, everything that I do, everything that I have is yours, and I'm under your management. And when that gets right, then everything this way gets right. Listen to me, church. When we get lined up with God and we're okay with Him, then we're okay with everybody else. And everything else will be all right. But we've got to get right here first. There is no all-stars, but believers who are under new management of God. And as a child of God, we're not to think of ourselves more highly, but admitting that we cannot do anything without God working in and through us. We can't yet. Yeah, yep, I got that. No, you ain't. Without God, you ain't got nothing. The Bible tells us that. Then we can have the confidence that we are called by God, we are loved and crafted and cared by God, and according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 sometime when you get by yourself. You have that divine power and virtue from Him as a child of God. God has dealt to each of us as believers the measure of faith, the life skills that God gives us the opportunity to grow in faith and to trust in Him. He wants and desires for each of us. And let He is preparing us today for what He wants to do with us tomorrow if we'll just trust and obey. Church, do you hear me? He's trying to prepare us today for what He wants to do with us tomorrow if we'll just trust and obey. It's scary sometimes stepping out. Say, God, I don't know, but You do, and I'm going to trust You. And just going with God, you'll never be disappointed and you'll never be left alone. When you and I submit to God, we read His Word, we go to our prayer closet and begin to lay aside our pride and learn. We learn how to fight the battle in prayer. We learn how to fight the battles in prayer. I don't know if you have one or not, but I would encourage you, look and get in a prayer closet. Man, I started something this week that just rocked my world. Maybe I'll get a chance sometime to tell you about it. Not this morning. Once you get in that mode and you lay aside the prayer and you begin to learn how to pray and fight in prayer, then together with God, then you're ready to move out. You're ready to move out and fight in the fields to utilize your gifts. But it requires us getting together with God and getting this okay and getting squared away where He wants us to be. And we're all about what He wants us to be. So God, I surrender all. Here I am. I submit it to You. I'll follow You, whatever You want me to do. Trust Him and obey. And when we do that, we're ready to work together. Our attitudes and minds and hearts are ready to work together. Have you ever noticed that people do things differently? Hey, if you hadn't noticed people do things differently, take a chance this week and look at people and watch them and go, oh, that sure is different. I never thought about doing that. Sometimes children surprise you. They'll ask questions or do something that you're going, as a child, that's pretty smart. I had never seen that before. People do things differently, don't they? Each of us do things differently. Some people are good at some things and not so good at others. And even people, have you ever noticed this? Even people with the same gifts and talents go about it differently. They got the same gifts and talents, but they go about it different than you do. Well, that's okay. As long as it's getting done, and as long as it's getting done for the glory of God, amen? That's what it's all about. Each of us offers, and it's been offered a special gift to the body of Christ. We should love and accept each other. Well, then how should we behave? How should we behave when we're together as the body of Christ? Glad you asked. We're to present ourselves holy and acceptable to God, and to be a living sacrifice, and to serve Him. We're also not to be conformed to this world's view, but we're supposed to allow God to be the one who transforms us. We should give God our lives to change us and to mold us. And I said that word, change. Sometimes we don't like that, but we need to allow God and submit God. He's the one that's supposed to change us, not us. And we can't change nobody else. God gives to you love and grace, does He not? Amen? God gives you love and grace. Amen? Well, if He gives all of us, and He does, love and grace, we ought to give that same to others. Yeah. If we get the love from God and we get the grace of God, we should do the same with others. Even if they do things different and go about it totally different. We're not to puff up ourselves and to think that we have the only way of serving. This is the only way it should be done. We're not to puff ourselves up to do that. Each person serving is important. Each person serving is important. No one should be exhorted above anyone else. From the pulpit to the pew, all is doing it for the glory of God, and we're serving Him, and no one's more important than the other. As we grow in faith, we should mentor others to grow in faith as well and give them the opportunity of serving. And when we do that, God really doesn't want us to allow them to start working. And as they're working along, you just watch them and they're doing it differently. Give me that. You ain't doing it right. No, that's not what God wants out of us. He wants us to say, how can we do it that way? And if it's okay, let them do it that way. But if it's not, instruct them and bring them along. So you're going to get hurt that way. It's a matter of mentoring and helping one another. And by no means in the body of Christ should we ever stop serving. Church, no matter what age you are, don't stop serving with your gifts and talents. Continually grow and to share with others and to work as a body as one. We as believers are one body, and each one having gifts is much needed here at Rome Creek Baptist Church. And I praise God when we work together and we serve God and glorify Him and encourage one another. I'll give you an example. The choir did a wonderful job this morning. Amen. They worked together. The instrumentalist did a wonderful job. Amen. What if one of them, what if just one of them decided to say, I think this is a good time to sing Rocky Top. Would you have noticed? Some of you, if you'd admit, you'd probably join them. All of them stayed on the same page. In fact, I asked what page it was, made sure this was on the right thing. And I watched them up there. I watched them. What page did he go to? They helped one another. You witness what the body of Christ is supposed to do all the time with everything that God's given us. And God has richly blessed Rome Creek Baptist Church. We have a beautiful facility here and over there. God has given us wonderful resources. And I'm going to tell you, God has given us some wonderful people of God to serve Him and to edify Him and to work together. Praise God for that. We just need more people. More people come alongside. And as you guys are going out and sharing with others that love and that grace with others, and as you're sharing with them and using your gifts and talents for God, word's getting out. You don't have to put up a billboard. They watch us and they say, I want part of what they've got. I want to be a part of what God's doing there. And I'm going to tell you, God is at work here. And among you folks, us together is better. Prophecy, foretelling, the heart and mind of God, which may or may not include a predictive aspect. But the warning here is, when you listen to people, be a little bit, what's the word, investigative when you hear someone say, "Thus saith the Lord." At least investigate it and line it up. Investigate it and line it up. Because if it doesn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," it didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." Line it up with His text message to you and I. Don't be so quick. The ministry, just serving in practical ways, taking the gospel of Christ into the fields of a lot of hurting people. And folks, when Daryl sung the song a minute ago, "Victory in Jesus," there's a lot of people, maybe even here this morning, that are hurting. And you put up a shield that you don't want people to see through. But inside, you're hurting. When you're by yourself, you're hurting. I want you just to know, God loves you. God cares for you. And He has a plan for you. Connect to God. Keep serving. Teaching. It's part of instructing others and family, friends, and teaching life skills and how to walk with God. Exhort means encouraging people to act upon which that they have been taught. That's what it's doing, is encouraging people to act upon what you've heard, to encourage each other. Giving refers to someone who's a channel through whom God provides resources to the body of Christ. And to rule or to lead, you must show diligence. And it's easy for leaders to become discouraged and feel like giving up. But they must persevere to please God and to be the leader that God wants them to be. In this area, they should go to the prayer closet and say these simple words. In fact, each of us probably should. That when we get alone in prayer, we should say this phrase. But not just say it, but to mean it. God, I need you. In fact, that's so important that I want you to say it back as well when I say it. God,
God,
I need you. We all do. We all do. Mercy. This reminds us of the gift of showing mercy. It's a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And as a body, as we individually are working with God, and we're working together as a body of Christ, God will be exalted. As all of us work together, we will receive more and more. And He'll continue to teach us. And we'll begin to see the gift of salvation come to many people who need it. And as we work together, we'll see more and more people come to the body of Christ and begin to use their talents as well. As a body of believers, I don't think in all of my years that I've experienced a time when we should be urgently seeking God more than we've ever had as individuals and as a body of believers. I believe that now Holy Spirit is longing for people to get honest with God and to come together and to lay it all out before Him. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow your head and to close your eyes and begin to pray. As a body of believers right now, I would like to call us to pray. And as we pray, I pray and ask you to pray to God to receive the victory today here at Rome Creek Baptist Church. and that the Holy Spirit would begin to call us to repentance of sins and to draw those who are in need this morning of the gift of salvation to experience Christ for the first time coming into their life. That we would begin to pray that God would move on their hearts and they would feel such a warmth of love and compassion and grace from God right now, and a comfortableness in this place that Satan could not use any excuse, and he would be dismissed from this place, and that the victory in Jesus would be won for that one or two or maybe even three that is not saved and is not going to heaven. That this morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're praying, God, may you richly bless this invitation, and may God, this be a time that we're unashamed of you, and that we, whatever you're laying on our hearts right now, that God, that we're willing to respond. And God, we pray that there'll be victory that'll be won. I pray that God, as we search our hearts and examine ourselves this morning, that God, if there be anything in us, that we would clear it up with you, because you said if we confess our sins before you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, I pray that right now that we would search our hearts, and Lord, if there be anything before we take this Lord's Supper, that we would get it right. And Father, if there's decisions that are to be made, be it for salvation or repentance, or even to be a part of this church body as a believer, God, you'd give them the Holy Spirit's comfort as they make that important decision. Father, as you laid on hearts this morning, they just need to pray. May there be your Spirit moving during this invitation. God, we love you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, as we go before the Lord, and this is His invitation. I pray that God would move on your hearts, and that you do it without delay, that you'd be willing to say, I don't care what other people think, I'm stepping out for the Lord, and right now, I want to get things right. Come on up, Daryl, and lead us in the hymn of invitation. As she begins to play, you do what God's called you to do.